You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 5th of March 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshank, streaming at radioalbion.com. Once again, we've reached the end of another week. The weekend is here and you know what that means. It means we have Grandpa Dan with us today, all the way from sunny Texas. Dan, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's t-shirt weather now. Everything's kind of back to normal. And but, you know, the bad news is I may be dead soon. Our governor is lifting, as of next Wednesday, all the COVID restrictions, which, to be honest, I wasn't following any of them anyway, so it doesn't really affect me. But so everything, we're pushing towards getting back to normal here in Texas. Of course, the consequence will probably be, no doubt, be stacking bodies high. But other than that, doing great, Sven, doing great.
I saw that Biden had called him a Neanderthal for saying that he was going to remove the forcing everybody to wear masks. And I heard that he responded by calling Biden a Neanderthal for opening the borders there. We're hoping that we're going to have our COVID restrictions lifted on June the 21st. So I've got fingers crossed for that. Whether we will see the freedom of speech restrictions ever lifted, I don't know. But we do have a report here that tells us that freedom of speech on the internet did not lead to a rise in hate crimes. And this is according to a report sent from the US Department of Commerce to Congress in January, a report that has yet to appear on any government website, and sources close to the government say they are baffled as to why it wasn't released publicly after being sent to Congress. Now, why might this be? A technical report that shows that freedom of speech on the internet did not lead to a rise in hate crimes and it has failed to appear on the government's website. Grandpa, have you got any idea why this report may not appear on the government website?
It's a complete mystery. It's a complete mystery. Well, it must be a complete mystery to those that, you know, don't actually keep up with this sort of thing and actually think this is protected at all times. I mean, you just look at the way they've shifted, you know. I mean, anything questioning, for instance, the vaccine or the COVID narrative is being banned. Well, that's not technically hate speech, but it's being banned the same as the hate speech. And so, yeah, now anything that conflicts with the narrative has got to be shut down. You know, this guise, this excuse of the hate speech. And I'm not surprised at all that I'm surprised that a actual, you know, a report was formed proving this is all bullocks, which we all pretty much knew. But not exactly really shocked that it's being buried.
Well, it seems the report was prepared by the Department of Commerce's National Telecommunications and Information Administration, the NTIA, which is responsible for advising the president on all matters related to telecommunication and the internet. So this is an important report. This hasn't been done by anybody with a vested interest. It hasn't been done by the ADL. It hasn't been done by Hope Not Hate. It's actually been done by the Department of Commerce's National Telecommunications and Information Administration. So it is unbiased in any way whatsoever. And they say that freedom of speech has not led to a rise in hate crimes. Sources who were close to the drafting and approval process suspect that bureaucrats and establishment politicians with a vested interest in the hate crimes panic are trying to suppress it. because its conclusions challenge popular media narratives alleging a rise in internet-inspired hate crimes. And this is what this is all about. All we read about in the press is about this supposed link that there is between what people are saying on the internet and them going out and carrying out violent, hate-filled crimes against ethnic minorities or against politicians. And yet the instances that we have seen of these attacks against ethnic minorities or against politicians, these violent attacks, there's never any link there between the people carrying out the attack and the internet. The guy that murdered the MP in Britain, he had no trace of him on the internet. He wasn't even a member of any nationalist organizations. The guy that ran a Muslim over, he just followed Tommy Robinson on Twitter, that was all. He certainly wasn't reading anything that was online. I don't believe they managed to find anything that Brenton Tarrant, the guy that shot up the mosque in New Zealand, I don't believe they found anything that he was doing online. It's just a convenient excuse to try and shut down criticism of government policy. And they say that we have to shut down this criticism because it leads to violence. And there is literally no link at all. In actual fact, once you stop people from being able to talk about things, that's when they are more likely to resort to using their fists. And the equivalent of that would be to say, well, shut down people talking about it on the websites, and then people are going to be so frustrated that they're going to feel that they have no option left but to resort to violence. It just seems so logical to me that you should allow people to talk these things out, and the best ideas are going to win, and people that criticize these ideas, they would be free to debate us. But of course, they don't debate us. They just call for no platforming, which is really just an admission that their arguments are so weak, they're not going to win the argument, are they? Grandpa, what do you make of what they're saying here? Do you think it could be because bureaucrats and establishment politicians have a vested interest in the hate crime panic?
I'm not even sure what establishment politicians are. As far as I can tell, they all belong in the same gunny sack. But now Sven's looking up, what is a gunny sack? But it reminds me of, when they ban you from social media, or they shut comments off of all these news articles, which pretty much every news service is doing now. They're shutting these comments off, and they always have some message about, we wish to create a safe space for our community, as if reading words on the internet from somebody that disagrees with you somehow literally puts you in danger. Because if you're saying, oh, well, we got to give people a safe place, the implication is these words you might read, if you read these words from somebody that disagrees with you on the internet, why, that's putting you in danger. Now, granted, I mean, if somebody puts a comment up and says, I'm going to hunt you down and kill you, yeah, I mean, that should be a problem. I mean, this is, common sense rules here. But that's not what we're talking about. Literally, like 99% of the time, we're talking about, oh, someone posted a word I don't like to read, or an opinion I disagree with, so it's putting me in danger, I need a safe place. It's utterly absurd. And I was thinking, I saw a news story talking about these hate crimes. They had a news story the other day over here in the U.S., I think more specifically in California, they've had this rise of anti-Asian hate crimes. And it is. It's literally, this isn't words on the internet. People are assaulting these Asian people walking down the street, usually the elderly, shoving them down. Some have been seriously injured and had to be hospitalized. And they went through this whole story about they're doing an investigation about this rise and these Asian hate crimes. And it's a horrible thing. And they went through the whole story and never mentioned that pretty much every single instance the attacker is black. I was surprised they didn't like blur the image out so you couldn't see what the attacker looked like. I think they do that in Germany. They blur the attacker out. But they went through the whole thing without pointing out the fact that, well, pretty much everybody assaulting, if this is a hate crime, pretty much everybody assaulting these Asian people is black, but somehow they ignored that in the news story. I'm sure if the assaulters were white people, that would be the lead off of the story. But no, this hate crime business, it's about stifling anything that counters the narrative. We know this is an observable reality now. We see it in every aspect. COVID, we have to listen to the experts. And yet what happens? What have we seen over the past year? We had these experts, scientists, PhDs, experts in the field of these viruses saying these lockdowns, these masks don't do anything. This is basically a bad flu. None of what you're doing makes any sense. And those people have been banned from platforms like YouTube and things such as that. It's all about protecting the narrative, because the narrative stands on lies. And if people are allowed to speak the truth, then that is a threat to the narrative.
I did notice there was a news story the other day. There was an Asian guy and horrific injuries. So somebody slashed his mouth open with a Stanley blade. The attacker was black. And what did we see? Well, we saw hundreds of people out marching against white supremacy. But the guy that carried it out was black. Another point I'd just like to raise here is, whatever happened to being able to block people that you don't like? If you don't like what somebody is saying, block them so you don't have to read what they're saying. Where do people get the idea that they have the right to block other people from what other people are wanting to read? If I want to read something, I don't want it to be censored. I don't see why somebody else should be allowed to censor what I read. I should be able to read what I want to read without other people interfering with it. Well, getting back to the article here, reports like this are typically made public, said a source who worked closely with the NTIA on the report. I don't know why this report isn't up on a government website yet. It's already been submitted to Congress. It's not a private thing anymore. I suspect the Civil Rights Division might have something to do with it. According to the source, who formerly worked in the Trump administration, the updated report was bitterly opposed by the Civil Rights Division, which is the part of the Department of Justice responsible for prosecuting hate crimes. The Civil Rights Division, said the source, is also at the forefront of efforts to drum up hysteria over white nationalist extremism in the US. Despite its opposition, however, the report was approved by the Office of Management and Budget and sent to Congress. I would like to know how they were trying to say that this shouldn't actually be published. What were the points that they were trying to bring up? It doesn't tell us here. I doubt whether there were any actual technical points as to why they didn't want it being brought up. They just didn't want it to be brought up because they're trying to drum up this hysteria. The civil rights division, I would guess, I mean, it says here it's part of the DOJ responsible for prosecuting hate crimes. I should imagine it's filled with ethnic minorities who have a vested interest in silencing all criticism of bad behavior by their groups, which is essentially what so-called hate speech actually is. Grandpa, have you heard of this civil rights division that they mention here?
Well, there's so many divisions and stuff, and all these government agencies want to justify their existence. Obviously, the Civil Rights Division is, you know, their very existence is to drum up a narrative of these evil white people. I mean, they came out the other day and said, oh, security is even more tight at the Capitol because there could be another attack on the Capitol. You know, and everybody, like, nobody sees this and takes it seriously. I mean, we all know it's BS, but you got an entire division, an army of civil service employees here in the Civil Rights Division, and this is how they make their living. They're all overly paid to solve a problem that basically doesn't exist. If they were really going after hate crimes, they would be cracking down on the black population that's apparently going around attacking elderly Asian people. And so they've got to justify their existence, so they look for a white terrorist boogeyman everywhere they can.
Well, the report does not publicly appear on any website. No one in Congress has mentioned it, and the press has not reported on its findings until now, that is. The report bluntly states that there is no evidence of a causal relationship between the growth in internet usage and hate crimes, pointing out that there is not even any correlation, as media allegations about a surge in hate crimes over the past 5 years are not supported by the Justice Department's crime statistics. Now, what does this mean? It means that the press are saying that things are hate crimes when they're not hate crimes, when they're nothing to do with hate crimes. I'm just trying to think of maybe some instances of this. Maybe it was to do with incels, or maybe it's just a crime where the person was white and the other person was black, and they've said that it was a hate crime because of that. But that's what's going on here. The media are making out things to be hate crimes when they're not hate crimes. And this reminds me of a report that Hope Not Hate in Britain did at the time of the Brexit referendum. And they claimed that there was a massive increase in hate crimes on Twitter. And what they were including as hate crimes were people that were against the EU. and people that were supporting Brexit. So this is what we have to be careful about. They will accuse criticism of government policy as a hate crime. They're even trying to make criticism of immigration status and an asylum status into a hate crime in Britain at the moment. They're trying to say that those should be protected characteristics. There's a constant creep here trying to prevent us from talking about more and more different things. They want to literally just prevent us from being able to talk about, regardless of whether we're being positive or negative about them. This is a new thing that they're trying to do over here in Britain. They're trying to say, well, even if you're not breaking the law and you're not saying anything hateful at all and there's no incitement to hate whatsoever, or there's no provable incitement to hate, we're still going to call it hate crimes anyway. I mean, that's how ludicrous it has got now. And the only logical conclusion that you can come to from that is that there aren't actually these hate crimes. People are not actually breaking the law. They're not actually doing this. We're not hateful people. We're not trying to incite hatred against ethnic minorities. And because we're not, they're seeking to expand the law to try and silence us anyway. I mean, it really does make a mockery of what they're actually saying here. But this is the proof here that there is no correlation. Well, let's have a look at what the report actually says. The evidence does not show that during the last decade, a time of expansive growth of electronic communications, particularly on the internet and mobile devices, as well as social media, there has been a rise in hate crime incidents. The evidence does not show. And they've looked back right the way over the last decade, and they've looked at everything, all social media, all different devices, and there has been no increase. Grandpa, this is, this should be in all the newspapers, shouldn't it, really?
Well, yeah, and you were talking about the creep here, and it's evident. I mean, Dr. Seuss is banned now because somehow, you know, these old children's books, you know, with these funny looking characters, you know, is now racist. You know, it reminds me, say provocative things on the internet, on Twitter, when we were allowed to be on Twitter, you know, and the point of that, which was lost on a lot of people, sadly, even on some of the people that were doing it, was to point out that, look, at some point you got to tell these people that, no, you can't tell me what I can and can't say, because otherwise they'll keep, you know, demanding more and more and more. And now we're at the point where Dr. Seuss is banned. So, you know, everything is being classified as hate speech, even children books now, apparently. It's all about a narrative. Again, it's always about, it has to be, it's a hate crime if white people do it. You know, they'll practically blur out the images but if they can get a white person involved, then that will be the lead off. And that is the narrative. And this article, it's very enlightening, and I'm glad it's published. But this approach that this is somehow all a mystery of why, not a mystery. We know why it's happening. The narrative has to be promoted. The truth has no bearing on it. And it just like how they penned that article in Time, basically bragging that, yeah, Trump was right. They did rig the election. They don't even care. It's in our face now. I mean, even if this report was up on a government website, the media is not going to report on it. And thus, most people are never going to know it exists. We have one instance here where someone's shedding light on it, and that's a good thing. But you're not going to turn on your network news and see, well, why is this report? This report was out here. Hey, this is, you know, it seems like that would be an interesting thing to report on. But we know, regardless of if it goes up on a government website, which it won't, it'll never see the light of day, the media is never going to report on it, because the media works hand in hand with the government to support and enforce the narrative.
They'll just continue to pretend that it doesn't exist. The report also warns that efforts to clamp down on online communications over unfounded concerns about hate crimes will undermine First Amendment values. And this is from the report once again. We caution that efforts to control or monitor online speech, even for the worthy goal of reducing crime, present serious First Amendment concerns and runs counter to our nation's dedication to free expression. To quote President Barack Obama, the strongest weapon against hateful speech is not repression, it is more speech. And most people on the left do go along with that. They do say that what should happen is these people that we disagree with, they should be exposed, they should be debated, that their talking points should be shown to be based on false statistics or false facts. But that just doesn't happen, because they know that their argument is so weak, and our argument is based on facts and it is based on accurate statistics. I mean, you can take one instance here, over here in Britain at the moment, they're complaining about a patriotic alternative leaflet that uses the government's own statistics to show that within 40 years, the indigenous British people will be a minority. So instead of trying to say that that isn't actually so, those statistics are wrong, or the fertility rate may change among the migrants or anything like that, they're just talking about, well, this must be hateful. This shows that they're hostile to immigrants. They must be banned, even though it's within the law. We need to make up new laws to ban this. And yet those statistics are government statistics, and they were published in all the newspapers cheering them on and saying, isn't this great? White people are going to be a minority. But the minute we say we don't think that is so great, in actual fact, we want our politicians to do something about this, then it becomes hate speech. And remember, we're only saying we want the politicians to do something about this. If the politicians don't do anything about it, we want an advocacy group that speaks up for our interests. We want our interests to be taken in hand when the government makes its migration policy. We want them to look at how the migration policy is going to affect white people, the same as with every other policy that the government do. They look at the different minority groups and they say, how is this policy going to affect the minority group? Well, if they're not going to stop immigration, we need to have an advocacy group for whites so that that advocacy group can speak up for us in every policy that the government enacts. And yet they won't do that. And that is all that we're asking for. We're not being hateful here. We're not being hostile towards any of these newcomers. We are holding our government's feet to the fire and saying that things need to change. We're not expecting the migrants to change, but we do want our politicians and the people who speak for us, we want them to change. And it's an important point that they're raising here, that by doing this, you are curtailing free expression, and you need free expression to have a functioning democracy. If you're not able to explain the way that you see the world, then you're not able to have a democracy. If certain information is being withheld from you, how can you be expected to form a correct appraisal of the situation and vote for the right people? And this is what it comes down to. They don't want you to vote for the right people, do they? They want to keep information from you so that you end up voting for the wrong people. What do you make of the way that they're saying about how it's clamping down on free expression here, Grandpa?
Well, free expression is pretty much dead in the West, and we all know this, but it's nice to see somebody's noticing at least and pointing out, hey, you know, this could be a problem. What it comes down to for the run-of-the-mill average, just not people pulling the strings, but useful idiot leftists that think this is a great thing, there's so many contradictions in their worldview that they can't help to be, for lack of a better term, triggered when these contradictions are pointed out to them. And this is what they define as hate. This negative emotion that they themselves feel is what they're projecting onto those who disagree with them and calling it hate. But it's really about what they themselves feel. I mean, when they read something on the internet, for instance, something pointed out or a show, here's something like a show like this, and the contradictions in their worldview are pointed out, it gives them a negative, it causes a negative emotional reaction to them. And then they project that onto you and say, oh, they're being hateful. They're causing hate. But what's really happening is it's that psychological reaction because they're brought face to face with a contradiction in their own worldview. I remember back in the days of social media and, you know, when you could interact with these people and you would get engaged with one of them, they go on and on about how non-racist they are and everybody's the same, race doesn't exist, but we have diversity. That itself is a contradiction. And they would go on and on posturing about how not racist they are. And one of the most fun comebacks would be, well, great then, I'm glad you're not racist. So this Saturday night, why don't you, when you go out on the town, go hang out in the black neighborhood and prove that you're not racist. And it would always set these people off because it would shove that contradiction. They sit there and posture and virtue signal about how non-racist they are, but they know at the end of the day, they're not going to go on Saturday night and hang out in the black neighborhood because they know they wouldn't be safe. And it just causes this negative emotional reaction. And that's feeling a negative emotion. And so they demand that it's hate speech. And now, of course, we've gone so far down the rabbit hole that you're blocked. You're not blocked. You're banned. You're kicked off of platforms and you're simply not allowed to say these truths because they might feel a negative emotion. But that's just, again, it's all about promoting and protecting the narrative. They don't really care about the feeling handy thing to use. It's a handy excuse because the run-of-the-mill leftist will be, oh, good, I don't feel that negative emotion anymore. Those evil haters have been banned. Good. But that means they won't be exposed to the truth. And that's what it's about. They don't want they don't want people being exposed to the truth, because even one out of, say, 20 or one out of 50, whatever the case may be, leftists is going might actually look at some of this information and go, you know, maybe they're right. And that is what they're really, that's what they're really afraid of.
Yeah, it threatens their hegemony, doesn't it? That's what it is. It makes them worried that they may not be so secure with their tyranny of the masses. Well, the report also criticizes academic extremism researchers for failing to back up their assertions of a causal link between online hate speech and real-world hate crime. From the report, this research, and much like it, fails to demonstrate any causal relationship between increased social media use and increased violence. This research does not present even comprehensive descriptive data correlating increased hate speech on social media with increased hate crimes. So they're actually singling out the groups like the ADL, the SDLP, Hope Not Hate. They're singling these groups out and saying that they have failed to back up these accusations that people talking on the internet leads to people carrying out crime. And this is a report that was funded by the government, that was asked for by the government, that was carried out by the government. And of course, these extremism researchers, they all claim to be charities. They're all private groups that are advocating for these different ethnic minority groups in society. And that's why they are coming up with this. And as soon as you put somebody that is not biased in charge of the statistics and you leave them to sort it out and see whether there is actually a link, they say, well, there is no link. Well, finally, the report issues a blistering condemnation of Silicon Valley companies for using the hate speech panic to undermine freedom of expression on their platforms. They say, Klain F reported that tech leaders have recognized that relying on human teams alone to review content will not be enough, and that artificial intelligence will have to play a significant role. That said, there are, of course, significant policy and practical limitations to reliance on automated content moderation. Interestingly, much of this technology is being developed from approaches pioneered by the Chinese Communist Party to stifle political discussion and dissent. Given that all the major social media platforms have rules against hate speech and in fact employ sophisticated algorithmic artificial intelligence approaches to enforce these often vague and contradictory rules in a manner also used by tyrannous regimes, it is appropriate to ask what they gain from it. Certainly, as this report shows, the platforms have no reasonable expectation that their censorship will end hate crimes or even diminish it, as no empirical evidence exists linking increased hate speech with hate crimes. Further, this censorship poses real dangers to our political system. Under the hate speech prohibitions and other censorship rules, the platforms have removed content that many consider seriously engaged with pressing political and social issues. There we go. They claim that Donald Trump is the threat to democracy. Well, no, according to the government's own report, it is censorship that is the threat to democracy. What do you make of this, Grandpa, and the allegation that it's the same techniques that the Chinese Communist Party are using?
Well, I think it's hilarious. They had to throw the China thing in there because we always have to at least get one dig in at China. But they also, I think a very interesting thing here is they point out these vague and often contradictory rules. And that is the thing. It is so vague. I mean, yes, China has, you know, they clamp down on certain things. But in China, you know, you're not allowed to criticize the government, the party, or the ruler. Other than that, they pretty much don't care. Where here in the West, where we supposedly have free speech, it's always changing. Well, what group are you allowed to criticize? I just read, you know, I mentioned earlier that Dr. Seuss has been banned from all of these things. Well, now they're pulling anybody that's selling Dr. Seuss books on eBay. That's not allowed. I mean, it changes all the time. Where in China, at least it's constant. If you're in China, if you're Chinese, you know, and you're posting on Chinese social media, you know, you can't criticize the government, the party, or the ruler. Those are the rules, and those rules are set. You can can talk about whoever. You could talk, you could probably read Dr. Seuss, and that would be fine. Here, it's always shifting. It's always changing. We see this evidenced when the left eats their own. We see one person that, you know, a month ago, they were at the head of the pack with virtue signaling about what good thinkers they were. And today they're being burned at the stake because they've done something. And now, you know, they said something one time 20 years ago, whatever the case may be, because it's always shifting. It's always changing. And these rules are vague and contradictory. Nobody knows what the rules are. If the government just came out and social media company came out and said, okay, you're not allowed to criticize, you know, the government, the party, or the ruler, then everybody would know, okay, well, if you criticize those three things and get banned, well, you knew what the rules were. But here, there are no rules. It's just this always ever shifting, always changing. And that's what gives them control, because you don't know what the rules are. It's kind of like the whole thing with in like the old Soviet Union. There were so many rules and laws on the books that anytime they wanted to crack down on you, you had violated. So you'd broken some kind of law because there were so many of them. It's kind of like that with the rules ever shifting, ever changing, and you never know what you're allowed to say for sure and what you're not allowed to say for sure. Then they can always crack down on you at any time they want to. Everybody winds up breaking the rules, and it makes this constant state. You know, people like us, we're resigned to it. We understand how it works. But I just can't help but to think for these lefties, these run-of-the-mill leftists, that it has to be a state of constant anxiety, because they never know when they're going to step on a landmine.
Well, of course, these rules, they have to be vague, don't they, so that they can expand them to use them to shut down just any speech they feel like. I mean, we saw that with them expanding it so that they could shut down people that were talking about vaccines or talking about COVID. I mean, how that incites violence, I just don't know. And how children's books can be classed as inciting violence, I don't know either. But it's good news that this report is out there. Whether we or not we will see it at the government website, I don't know. I hope so. Anyway, it's good news anyway. So thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.